The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's up, everyone?
Adam Vail.
How you doing?
And Brett Murdoch.
What up, everyone?
All right, little bit of a difference. I'm not on camera right now because I'm at my mom's place. There's a big light behind me. It was all fucked up. Like, I'll let you guys see it for a quick second. It's like, Brett! You know, the J.J. Abrams shit. No, we ain't about that light. You know?
You need a blue flare on the other side, Tony.
Shut up, you know? I should make that light red and then another, like, blue light and shit. Have, like, red on one side. Blue would have been dope.
It's orange. Thank you.
For those of you who watch the show, that's the old homestead right there.
That's the old, yeah, man. But yeah, back with another one. Listen, man, we don't take breaks on Throwdown. We take a break at the end of the year. We don't stop even for Thanksgiving, you know?
Yep.
So, by the way, if you heard Adam upset, we'll learn about why later. Oh, man, Christmas did not come early for you. I think you may have gotten a fucking stalking, you know? Hopefully you didn't, you know? Who else? Brian's missing. He said he was playing you stayed up too late. And Carlos is returning Tejas. You know, so he's on an early flight, so he can't be. But yeah, he was here for a whole month. Got to see Carlos last week. You know, yeah. At Barcade drinking. You know,
it must have been sucky. It's like a lot of him being sick.
Yeah, he got the COVID and the Rona. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh shit!
Yeah, man, fucking New York gave him the Rona. But
that is a terrible welcome home present.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, he got over it, but still, you know. Anyway, since this is a Wednesday, not a lot happened this week. Still some interesting stuff, you know. So let's get right into it. This one's Sony is facing a $7.9 billion class action lawsuit over PlayStation store prices. So just to be clear, this is happening in Europe. This is not like a U.S. thing, even though they're putting it in dollars. I'm going to read this shit from Game Rant. Sony is facing a $7.9 billion class action where it's PlayStation store practices. Many lawyers were hoping that PlayStation's massive lawsuit for allegedly overcharging customers be dropped, but the case has been allowed to move forward. The initial suit stems from PlayStation's terms and conditions for developers and publishers front with Sony 20% commission sold on the play. It is alleged that the company ends up charging consumers too much for them.
Oh, of course. We know they do. News.
Yeah, we've heard these before. Let me keep going. The battle against behavior on digital storefronts isn't as Apple with lawsuits thanks to its 30% cut on the or. In fact, this is the main debate within Epic's lawsuit against Apple and is still ongoing in the case of Epic and Google. This time, however, it's not the game publishers that are suing. It's with more than a year, it appears that though this lawsuit will continue, it could cost Sony billions of dollars. Reuters is reporting that a class action lawsuit filed against Sony Interactive Entertainment has been allowed to move forward by a London tribunal. It is alleged that Sony is closing its dominant position, end quote, by requiring software bought and only on its online marketplace because of Sony's 30% commission. It is argued that consumers are forced to pay a higher price for entertainment than they should otherwise. I think that pretty much covers the stuff there.
To be honest, yeah, that's all true. But I mean, that's both game companies. That's not only PlayStation. Microsoft is also overcharging their titles because, you know, there is no discs being printed. So theoretically, you should get some sort of discount, right? Right?
I mean, most we always thought about that.
Really tough to tell, to be real honest with you.
What's that?
I said it's really tough to tell because the Game Pass muddies the fucking waters.
Well, yeah.
And then you kind of get...
But I mean, they're still guilty. Like, you bought them retail. Theoretically, games should be cheaper because they're digital because there's no things there. But yeah, it does muddy the water when you have a service Game Pass and also Sony and the Sony tax that they added, which was $70.
Yeah, well, also I think, and this at least is the big one for me. Like, so it's not that they're charging you the same for a game that you buy in a store with a disc. They're charging you more than it costs to buy in a store on a disc. And I think that's at least part of it. The other part is the 30% that they're charging, supposedly being like too high of a cut. And that forces developers to charge more to help kind of make up for it. I'm not sure what Microsoft charges. You're probably right. I'm not arguing that fact. I'm just kind of saying, like, I know on the PlayStation side, on the Microsoft side, I just kind of get shit on Game Pass and then stop paying attention. So I can't really.
No, they used to have it where, like, on Steam, like the fact that there's all these CD keys and Humble Bundle and all these other locations where you can get these keys cheap and they can do these crazy sales that are actually better than the prices on Steam. And they used to be like that with PlayStation and Xbox. Remember Amazon was selling codes and digital codes at different sales and prices? And then that all stopped. And so that way they have full control. So yeah, it kind of sucks that it's not one of those systems. Like, let's say if Amazon said, all right, we'll buy these games from you, you know, these codes from Microsoft or PlayStation, and then they can sell them at whatever price they want. They can sell them at regular price, and if it's not selling and they want to do a sale and sweeten the deal, then they could lower the price. But for some reason, both of these companies don't want that. They want to have full control.
Yeah, I don't know if the win here. It's like, how long has this shit been going on for, you know?
I mean, just because it's been going on goes on everywhere doesn't mean it's not a fucked up practice.
Oh. They won before, at least in England, remember, with the whole refund, digital refund. That happens over there. We don't have that feature, but they have that button. And if they don't like a game, they can just say, nope, digital refund, no questions asked, and they get refunded.
But so, I mean, like, let's just say win. For the sake of argument, win just mean Microsoft is going to have to change its practices. Apple is all, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
well, let me ask you, do you know if Microsoft charges developers 30% to sell on their storefront?
I'm not 100% sure, so I can't say.
Well, 30% is what Apple charged, and I remember at the time, that was unusually high for the entire industry, right? Like, the fact that they were in the lead on their storefront allowed them to charge higher than the rest of the industry. Like, that was kind of the legs of the problem here. And, like, I heard them say it's the same as Apple, and I heard them say it's 30%. So, like, I'm not in front of a PC. Can somebody Google, like, do we know how much it costs to percent-wise put something on the Xbox
market? I'm looking now to see.
It says right here, Microsoft charges developers 8% of sales.
Okay, so it's the same.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, if everybody's doing it, it's going to be hard for the change.
Yeah. Well, what's now it's saying 12%. What's this 12%?
Yeah, if everybody's doing it, it's going to be hard for it to change. Like, I can see why it was brought up on Sony first, because they're market dominant, we need to change everybody.
Apps is 12%. If people want to sell apps on Microsoft, apps are cheaper, and the games are 30.
Everybody's doing, this not gonna go.
I mean,
it did. Go ahead.
Like, it's gonna require a big industry shift. And I don't think these other guys are gonna.
They're all gonna have to jump in on it and agree there.
or you could go to you could buy a physical.
Yeah, but you saw, you know, the amount of purchases are like, what, 4% are physical?
It's so that's not happening. Ease of use subverts all of that. But, you know, you look at a game like I was thinking about this. You can't actually buy Alan Wake for, like, let's say you're, let's say you wanted to buy some, like, hey, Adam, you're a big fan. Or Chris, I can't do that because they don't have that. Sony doesn't allow you to buy off of their, service. And Alan Wake is a digital game.
Well, that's the other thing, too, that they don't have that gifting feature. That's Microsoft added that back years ago, and it seemed to work. I don't understand why they don't just have that option. Like, oh, you want to buy for yourself or your friend, you know, on your list. There you go. What's the problem there then? Especially if they know you can't buy a physical version. Like you said, well, how can you gift?
Yeah, how could you? You want to get, if this is the most, what do they call it? What do you got to buy somebody a PlayStation card and then they'll figure it out with, I don't know. You know, just want
to
give a game.
Yeah, it's weird that they don't have the option to gift. Because it's not like you can't gift a game on Steam.
Yeah, you can gift and you can put a date. You can gift, I could put something for someone's birthday and be like, all right, when? In 2025. You know, I have this sent to them and that's it.
And like, can you gift on Xbox?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You'll get the.
When I do it,
And I think also Nintendo, the eShop, you can't.
Nintendo, what do you expect, you know?
But
number
Oddly enough, the two Japanese companies don't believe in gifting.
Brett, what's up?
It's dishonorable, Manny. So the only thing about this story that actually honestly bothered me was, it was kind of a little addendum somewhere on the version that I read that said Sony had put forward to the judge asking for anybody who opted into the lawsuit and has since bought anything on the PlayStation Store should have their name thrown out of the case, which I thought was fucking dirty pool. What's that?
Wait, I don't why? I don't understand.
Because they were saying basically like, well, as a customer, if you feel you're being taken advantage of and you want to, you know, jump on that lawsuit, then if you buy anything else from our storefront, clearly you don't feel that bad about it and your name should be taken off of the lawsuit was their argument, which it is clever, but it's also fucking dirty pool when you're that industry dominant. That's kind of like, that's some shifty shit right there.
Yeah. Oh, it's shifty, but if I was a company, I'd do this.
Yeah, no, I get why they did it, and it was honestly very slick, but again, doesn't really seem like, I don't know if I necessarily say slick is a good thing in this context.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Like, what is a word for evil? There's got to be a word for it. I just can't come to me now.
Shiesty.
Jay Shep, what's going on, bro?
Conniving?
What happened? Conniving? Yeah, conniving. I like that. Yeah, let's go
with conniving. Yeah, conniving. That works. Conniving. Schemers.
Yeah. By the way, since I work with a bunch of British, like, I learned that cheers to them means thanks. So, but literally,
you didn't know that?
I had no fucking idea. I was told you raise a fucking glass.
Yeah, but what did you think cheers was? So,
I thought cheers was you raise a glass of alcohol. Cheers.
It has a bunch of meanings, though. That's the thing, because they'll also say it when they hang up a call. All right, cheers.
Yeah.
How much are you drinking, Tony?
Or cheers.
These are British people.
Or cheers in the email. They'll write.
Or cheers in the email. Goodbye.
Again, I've learned all this as I've British company, and I was like, but here's the funny thing. When I told, I was like, yeah, we drink a lot, so that's fair. What they told me, I was like, I told them, every time you guys say, I imagine you holding up a pint, and they're like, that's fair, we drink a lot.
I do, Tony. I love the idea of you like talking to somebody on the phone and being like, cheers, and hanging up, and you being like, mother's drinking at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, well, cheer, okay, you know, but, you know, British people are, anyway, anything else we want to say about the Sony lawsuit?
I hate that these things have to come up in the UK because the US consumer protections are so shit.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the UK. Very interesting. But segue kings here. We got to talk about another UK thing concerning Xbox. Apparently, sales have plummeted for the Xbox Series X and S year on year. They've dropped apparently 52%. Fuck. That's
brutal. I mean, is this? We all knew that, didn't we?
No, but year on year, wow.
It's just been a nosedive for like the last 10 years.
When they weren't releasing any games. Remember, that was the whole thing. When they weren't releasing games, nobody was buying the console because there's no games on it.
Yeah, I want to read this for context. Reading this from IGN. According to fresh reported by Game Industry, Sony's PlayStation 5 is comfortably number one with sales of an incredible 143% over last year. So remember, Sony went up 143% over last year. The near 7-year-old Nintendo Switch is second despite 20% drop-off sales year-on-year. But the Xbox Series X and S have seen a whopping 52% drop in sales. So Sony 142% increase, Xbox 52% decrease.
Yeah,
that's, you know, but not unexpected.
That's kind of the problem when like it gets super one-sided, man. Like it slips even further. Like it kind of reminds me of like the whole 2-degree climate argument. But it's like, yeah, like, yeah, when you have such a large like competitive lead, like it's easier to maintain that, man. Like all your friends are on PlayStation. Nobody's buying Xboxes right now, and especially Starfield didn't hit the way that it should. Like, there's not a lot of reason for people to buy Starfield. Like, I'm surprised that apparently Series X, I guess, sold less than the Kinect version. But like, I don't know how to explain that. That's just fucking weird. But like, yeah, man. Like, I can absolutely understand. Like, and I would kind of expect, especially with Spider-Man coming out, like, Sony's still running strong. There is nothing, especially in your average public consumer mind, that like says that they're not just going to be running on full steam forever. I think the consensus around here is there's a little bit of apprehension with, you know, their live service games being the bulk of the foreseeable future, but not a lot of people are looking at it like us, right? Like your average home consumer, they're just like, PlayStation's running strong and they're going to be forever. And honestly, 25 years of history back that up. So like, why the fuck would you invest in an Xbox unless there's something really pulling you towards it? I mean, y'all think I'm a huge Xbox or Xbox. Let's just go with that. Y'all think I'm huge at Xbox. I wouldn't buy an Xbox until after I bought my PlayStation, even supposedly being that far in the Xbox camp. Like, there's just not a lot there, man. Then again, really wouldn't have bought a PlayStation 5 either. I would have just fucking upgraded my PC had I known this is where we were going.
I mean, it's not until this year we need a... Here's the thing. I don't even want to say you need a new next-gen console. That's still debatable, you know?
You know, here's the thing. I was really excited for Spider-Man, and then it came and it released, and I haven't picked it up yet, and I just don't know if I care. Like, it's weird. Like, I should feel like I'm excited or missing out on something, but, like, it just doesn't, like, I don't know, maybe I've just been eating well with so many other games. Maybe it just doesn't feel different enough from the previous iteration. Maybe...
It's probably that, because my son, he beat it, and he got all the outfits, and every time I asked him, I was like, are you going to play? It's like, nah, it's just like the other one. I mean, it's just more stuff. He had no need, and he loves Spider-Man, so I think that's it, right? I think...
Well, yeah, everybody I've talked to or heard, even the people that rave about it, they're like, yeah, man, I played 25 hours. It was great. Put it down after that and never picked it up again. But that game is an 11 out of 10. I'm like, that doesn't sound like 11 out of 10 behavior.
No, that's good.
The thing is, here's the thing. You're right. Like, the game was like hot shit for 2 weeks. And then that's it. It dropped off, you know? And the thing is, I think it's because it's so similar to the first one. There's not much more to talk about. Like, when the first one came out, like, holy fuck, we finally got this dope-ass Spider-Man. We've been waiting years for, you know, because the last time we got a real Spider-Man of that level was Spider-Man 2 in fucking 2000, whatever the hell that came out, you know? So it was like a new thing. It was fresh. This one is just more of the same. And then, obviously, there's some social stuff attached to it that kind of bring it down a little bit, you know? So I kind of understand why people are just like, hey, I had my fun. I'm done. I'm same way. I got my platinum. I'm good, you know?
Let me ask you something in this, because, like, you know, we talked when Miles Morales came out about how I said it felt like a DLC.
Which it was.
Everyone says, no, this is a full-on...
Oh, they're full of shit.
It's a full game. This is a standalone game. This is a game. I'm like, okay, cool. So that means this is the third game that we've gotten where honestly nothing's changed by that definition. Which, it would have honestly been way more excusable to be like, yeah, we had a first one, and then a DLC, and then this one. But if you say this is the third game, and mechanically nothing has changed from the first game... It doesn't feel like a lot of reason to. I'm not against it. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it's not like food. It's not like a food I don't like. It's just I'm not rushing to get there and eat while it's hot. It'll be there. It's fine. It's whatever.
I mean, you can just...
By the way, Brett, just so you know, me going on Twitter and calling Miles Morales is what got the PlayStation to hate me this generation and label me an X-Bot.
That's kind of what I'm saying. That's why, like, I want to direct this. I wish that the PlayStation community were a monolith, because so I could direct this question to them. So since it is a full game, since you as a community came down on everybody so hard for implying it might be some sort of standalone DLC, right? Because remember, I was very hot about that when it came out. I was like, this is a DLC. And I straight up fought with people over that, right? So now I want to direct the question to them. Like, so okay, cool. So now it's the third game that's exactly the same as the first game. Maybe a little bit graphically polished up, even that doesn't really seem like
not
it.
Not exactly. Sort of like a genuine the web wing.
Okay, I mean, okay.
Yeah, but Manny, fundamentally, again, because I test the first Spider-Man on PC regularly, so when I jumped into this game, I didn't have to adjust.
Well, yeah, because because it's not that much of a difference, but why would you change it that much to where
I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. By the way, I'm not saying this as a negative. I'm just as a fact that it is fundamental. The actual fundament, the core, is the same.
Fun thing. You can actually make the traversal more difficult because there's
that fucking idiot on Twitter who was pressing X and he was like, "Oh, the traversal's fucked up." It's like you gotta hold R2. You fucking dumbass.
No. Here's the thing. There's a way you can actually make the game play exactly like the old PlayStation, where you actually have to the webs at the building that you're shooting at. Because you remember that's how. Yeah, because like what you can do is you essentially, because it has an assist. So it has automatically shoots to the nearest building in the button. When you're when you turn that thing off, you have to actually so you can make it play like the old.
My
games.
Problem was in this, and it was more in this game than the first one. Like I know for a fact, I'm swinging off of shit that shouldn't even be like. I literally jumped off the Empire State Building and started web swinging. I'm like, what the hell else am I swinging from? There's no taller buildings here. I
know the cheat button was always pressing the X button. He does that one thing where he does the hop, and you can do that no matter if there just does it.
Yeah. There's another one kind of like webs, like you shoot two webs from both your arms and you kind of like shoot yourself like a catapult or whatever. Yeah. You could do that literally from the top of the Empire State. Like, that makes no fucking sense. There's no other buildings here. This is the tallest building in the fucking city. You know?
That is weird, because in the first game, you couldn't swing through the park because there were no buildings there.
Mm-hmm. No, you can swing through the... You can swing through the park. It doesn't... You're getting the... It still can swing. Yeah. But you can't, like... One open field, you can't swing. But now you have the web wings, so you go longer, you know, going...
Anyway, we got sidetracked.
Yeah, we did. Talking about some Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's all good. Xbox sales, but not one of their.
We'll unlock and we'll show some.
Yeah. I want to read this. This is kind of cool. From IGN, because they actually spoke with others. So why do Xbox Series X and S struggle in Europe? What's caused such dramatic console sales collapse? There are a number of IGN asked for a follow-up. Game Industry's head of game, Chris Dring, painted a grim picture of Xbox's fortunes across Europe. This is what this dude had to say. The sheer sense of available console stock last year does skew those quite a bit. And it's worth noting that Eurozone countries have never been Xbox's strongest territories. That's true. They revealed back in February 80% of the market value versus PlayStation's 80%. However, even a market where Xbox is a lot more competitive, tough year, the Xbox Series S and X is down 20%. Year to date, the reality is the console has momentum, which element when it comes to how successful it isn't for platform hold. Yeah, no, he's not saying anything we didn't already.
Hey, well, let me put that into context here. Like Xbox releases, it has promise. Things might change. Who knows what's going to happen? It's a new console. Things are new, fancy, and different. First year after Xbox releases, it's okay. There's still things on the horizon. I heard Starfield's going to be pretty good, and I think there's a game called Redfall coming any minute now. This year, it's okay, cool. So that all shat the bed, and I don't see anything on the horizon. So, you know, it's the idea of giving good graces only lasts for so long. And like when you're this far in the generation and still haven't delivered, like those good graces kind of wear thin, and there's not a lot of reason to buy it unless you're giving those good graces. Like, unless you've got some sort of brand loyal to your expectation. Don't get me wrong, until this year, Sony was in much the same state, right? I'm criticizing the industry as a whole here. We're like, you don't go 2 years into a generation before you give somebody a reason to buy something. Like you don't wait till 2 years after somebody has bought something to give them the payoff. That's fucking stupid and basically pissing down on your own most loyal customer base. So not a good look on either fucking. But in Xbox's case, you still don't have anything forward showing to really go with, and you haven't had anything successful to kind of refresh that brand loyalty. Like, Sony doesn't have a lot on the horizon, but people fucking love Spider-Man. And that's kind of enough that they're like, I just got a good game from Sony. I can wait a little bit longer. And if you like Last of Us, then those two things alone are enough to be like, you know, so like I'm not getting
Wolverine's
a
coming. You know, people are hyped for that. Wolverine's coming from Insomniac as well. You know, people are hyped for that.
I am also hyped for that.
Kind
of amalgamous and on the horizon. We don't know really anything about that. And that when that starts getting traction, I think it's going to make PlayStation look a lot better. What was that, Manny?
Also, Miles just so happens to have a black outfit as one of his alternates.
Ooh. See, so they're building hype for it. Like, the only reason I don't count that one necessarily is they've been pretty quiet about it, which I agree with. I think they should be. Don't tell me anything about that until you're ready for me to get fucking hyped. But just the knowing it's out there, yeah, definitely fucking helps. So like there's this weird combination of brand loyalty and expectation and honestly a bunch of other factors that kind of build into these good graces. Like what's on the horizon? What's coming up? How well have you treated me in the past? Do I have good recent experiences with your brand. And these kind of things all build into it. And it's the reason why I'll bitch a lot about what Sony's giving. But it's enough, and they've been smart enough to kind of build it in such a way that people feel fed. Nintendo is the fucking master of this. Nintendo may not give you a shitload, and they may trickle feed it to you, but what that is there's always something around the corner that you're excited for, and something just around the corner that you just passed that you feel good about. So I think that's one of the keys to Nintendo's success is you're always in their good grace. There's always something you played recently that was pretty good, and something else that's coming up. And you know, we used to hate it because it felt like they were holding out on us, but honestly, now it's one of the more cathartic release schedules out of any of the big companies. But that being said, Microsoft's the worst, and I can absolutely understand why if you don't keep refreshing that pool, filling that pool back up, then like there's not going to be a lot in there to kind of build that good grace. You know what I mean? That's metaphors are breaking down, but I think I'm making my
point. Yeah. Jay Shep says people take brand loyalty into consideration when they buy a console. I just look at what's coming to that platform. Jay Shep, can you elaborate on that? I want to understand what you're trying to say.
It's like, I mean, it sounds like if there's a brand loyalty, they'll probably tradition went with. It's like, yeah. I like Sony. I'm going to buy the Sony thing.
Yeah.
I mean, brand loyalty is like 90% of what people buy their consoles off of, man. Like, if you buy it strictly off of what do I know is coming in the future, then you are definitely in the minority. Definitely.
Yeah, J-Shep, is that what you it's on a platform? Because no, Brett's right. It's like, and here's the thing, that's what most people for most. I've been buying fucking Pepsi my whole life just because that's what I've been buying. I buy Nikes because that's just what I've been buying. I drop Budweiser though for obvious. But barring shit like that, I stick with what I know. Sony, hey, these motherfuckers are giving me what I wanted, sticking with it, you know? But yeah, no, you're generally speaking, most people need like fucking Jordache and shit. I've been buying that shit forever because that's just what I've been buying, you know? Like, if I don't own a Switch, but a new Zelda game is coming out, then I'll buy a Switch. I mean, that's fair.
Most people are not like that. Honestly, and this is why most of the console war exists. And
thank you, Brent. I was just about to say that shit. That's exactly why the console was. Anyway, go on.
Oh, yeah. I say so, like, not in a good way. Like, console war from way back in the day, I say with a smile. Console war now, I say with a scowl. Like, most of the console war is, yes, buying the brand that they're already loyal to, and then doing backflips to mentally justify that to themselves and everybody else. And anybody who suggests, oh, this other, like, if you are a PlayStation fan, hardcore fanboy, dye in the wool, and you buy PlayStation and something you might like comes out on Xbox, oh my God, you're gonna bend over backwards to convince yourself and everybody else why that is just the worst thing ever, mostly to appease your own sense of FOMO. So
that's literally how fanboys act.
Yeah, most of the problem comes from, people do that and then try and justify that and then fight on the internet about that justification. And that's like 90% of Twitter.
Yep, pretty much. All right, let's move on here.
What are you though, brother? You keep doing that. You keep doing you. Like,
hey, listen, do
the same thing I do, and that is what keeps you happy. At least that's what keeps me happy. Like, if there's a game on something I want to play, I'll play it.
Yeah. My thing is, like, because I hate being left out. So I'm like, okay, how do I resolve this? Buy everything. I have the money now. I'm good.
It's
as simple as that.
For me,
So basically, it's like PS5 and PC. Obviously, you get two things in one. You get the PC games and Xbox, you know?
For me, it's never been. I've always bought to go all in. It hasn't as to what will day. And all. I don't care about being left out. I just care about what's the thing that currently gives me things that I want to play.
You know? PlayStation.
I am.
It has been for the past 25 years.
It has been for the for the past 25 years, but I wouldn't say I'll buy a place of PlayStation. Every single generation, without any question, it always gets a reroll. And if the reroll doesn't come up as good, and the other guy comes up with that.
When was the last time you bought a Nintendo? Yeah, when was the last time you bought a Nintendo device?
The Nintendo, the last Nintendo console, by the way, don't have it.
All right, on here, sticking with Xbox.
Real quick, what's up, bro? Manny, I'm curious. So where does something like the Steam Deck fit in there for you?
The Steam Deck doesn't, I would much rather have a set top, have a handle probably.
Sure. So,
I mean, I could theoretically be in an attached to it today and not even worry about PC decay.
And a laptop's better for that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I could. That's true. You know, there's a, you know, I could do, I don't really getting travel enough to, I don't miss over here. If I want to be here, I'm a.
Hey, Manny, I have a hypothetical.
What's up?
So forgive me. Vita, did you buy it?
It would depend on.
You know, and the reason I ask, obviously, for good reasons, are a big Vita fan. Yeah, you know?
I mean, I play the Vita from, I don't know, I don't, like, I don't, it doesn't, really, it all, you know, it does, you know, graphically, it, yeah, it's impressive, like, there's nothing.
Yeah, like, so you that? Would even hesitate with Vita 2?
Yeah, just, it really depends on what there is to play on. If it's something that I'm interested in, if it's something that I'm interested in, yeah, I'll definitely pick it, or if there's more than one, but I would say for Steam Deck, there is one thing to own a deck. You can literally get almost every release sale, so there's nothing that says, hey, yeah, this, I mean, granted, the possibilities are endless, open, really care to have, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to have it, I don't need to have it only does everything.
Fair. All right, anything else you guys want to, you know, bring up?
Is this another segue? Because there's somebody that has one?
No, it's not a segue. I wanted to talk about Alan.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Because I just found this funny. So Alan Wake 2, and Brett, this, I think this is one of the stories you hate, but I'm going to go with it. Alan Wake 2 failed to rank in the top 150 games in terms of actives for October. Pretty interesting stuff. I mean, Reese's from Game Rant. Alan Wake 2 did not make it to October's top 150 most active. Surprising information as Alan Wake nominated at the Game Awards for Game of the Year and a bunch of other shit.
Not
you know?
Surprising. You know why? Because it's fucking Alan Wake. Nobody cared about that game. I'm sorry. There is a yes, there is a fan base for Alan Wake, but that's like, you know, it's not nearly the amount of people. It's not nearly, you know, I don't know how much Quantum Break did or Max Payne. It's a very sort of niche title. Very niche title. It's part, I'm sure that's particularly why they chose not to do release on this title, because they knew what they were getting the first one.
Yeah, I'm curious why you think that this kind of story I hate.
Because don't you hate it when, because to me, this seems like low-hanging fruit type of
stuff. Oh, no, I'm genuinely pissed about this kind of thing myself. Like, this feels like, off on a mini rant here, this feels like some Last of Us shit where they look at us and be like, y'all are too lowbrow to understand true fucking art. Hmm. So let's tell you, by voting majority of true artists, which games deserve to be the most fucking celebrated, even though none of y'all are fucking playing it and nobody's fucking talking about it. Like, Twitter is not lit up over Alan Wake 2 and the masterpiece of art that it is. Like, don't get me wrong, looks like a good game, seems pretty well written. The graphics look fucking great on it, but it's a niche title, right? It's a niche title with heavy, serious fucking tones, just like the fucking Last of Us, right? It's the same shit the Oscars do.
It's not really that, it's not nearly that, like, it's not really that depressing.
I don't think it's like the difference between
David.
Well, it just feels to me like how people are like automatically think grimdark shit is deep. Like, no, grimdark shit is not necessarily fucking, like, we get it. The world is chaotic and terrible and probably pointless and scary and dark and mortality creeps upon us all. Big fucking deal. I'm not 13. I don't think that shit is deep anymore.
I mean, really? it's not even like, I feel like even Last of Us is more of a grimdark game, whereas I feel like Alan Wake, it deals with altered dimension, collective unconscious.
I don't think it
necessarily takes itself that seriously as Last of Us.
Nothing takes itself as seriously as Last of Us, is there a more grimdark game this year? Is there a more serious critical choice game that released this fucking year?
No one's really marketing it that way, or they're not really talking about it. By the way, Brett, that was the line of the night, right? I'm not 13 years old. That shit is not deep anymore.
No, it's not. It's not like. To be honest, I don't think, like, I haven't played Watch Mode. I don't really. Alan Wake is not like sniffing its.
Yeah, and the game industry isn't telling people that, oh, you don't like this game, so you don't get it. Nobody's saying
that.
Even this article. Basically, this article's premise is like, hey, this game has gotten that many shit. Why aren't people playing?
Here's the thing. I always see this is what I also see about. Now, granted, like, Control did very well, but I'm gonna say that it did better the moment it started. It got knocked, and I would say may want certain things to happen. It's what the Oscars used to do, you know, like, what it's pretty much the ploy. I'm not accusing it. What, okay, so let's talk about the easiest man on the planet, Harvey. Part of his cycle, right, was essentially in getting a bunch of different actors, and then he was essentially lobbying for being nominated. They didn't do well, but after they got nominated for the Academy Awards, that's when people started to take more interest, and they would win the when they win the award, they would even get higher. Like people got awards, all kinds of other. So I sort of weirdly feel like this situation where Ryan Lee, you know, studio that, but I think like that is the, I feel like I at least get the stench here. Like, you know, I know that Mr. Millie says, oh yeah, he doesn't shop there, but I feel like sort of has that bit of connection with certain entities, industry. I don't, it would be weird if they didn't get not was put out by, just saying.
Well, yeah. And like, I want to say, like, I'm not entirely sure like that, who that 90% of industry insiders is, but you're going to get some stuff that comes back into the nepotism territory. Yeah. I want to clarify. It's not that I think that like everybody is getting high off their own farts. Like, this is not a Last of Us type situation. That thing is very special and its own. I do feel like, though, there are certain kinds of recommendations that people who fancy themselves intellectuals will give, right? It's the same if you show up at a party and you're like, hey, you know, you go up to a bunch of people who fancy themselves very smart, and you're like, hey, what are you guys' favorite movies? Chances are they're not going to like throw out like, Idiocracy, you know, like they're going to kind of throw out these more highbrow kind of deep sounding kind of things. And that's kind of what I meant by the Alan Wake. Like, I don't think it's a big conspiracy or anything like that, but like, I'm not surprised to see it nominated, because it feels like the kind of game that people who consider themselves important would nominate. Right. Like, and it's, you know, it both serious deep games, Tony, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm laughing, man.
Serious deep games and arty whimsical games are always very prone to fucking do that, right? Like, it's, you're not gonna, you know, you don't get a whole lot of people who are like, oh yeah, Transformers, that was the movie. No, it's always fucking Citizen Kane, right? Like, so it's that's really all I meant. Like, that and a lot of Nintendo games are often in these kinds of areas where people like to recommend them. Now, The Last of Us exists in a very special place, because that is those people's wet dreams. Like, they just want to walk around and tell people about how great The Last of Us is, so they can seem arty and deep. And that's not everything these people recommend. But at the same time, like, I find it weirdly suspicious that a game that most people aren't super jazzed about and necessarily writing home about, like, that it's getting so much more traction, right? Like, because I doubt a lot of these people are going to be like, Spider-Man. Spider-Man was the game I would write home. Like, Spider-Man changed my view on women. Like, no, that's you're not getting
Spider-Man's
that.
Nominated.
What's that?
Said Spider-Man 2 also nominated. You're like Alan Wake.
Yeah. Well, I'm not meaning to imply that it's not.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, they're still in the same category in that. So, but.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, if it went by people playing the games and, like, how much fun people were having strictly, I feel like Spider-Man would have been nominated a lot. It would have been a lot heavier contender than Alan Wake. Because Alan Wake is everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Also, like, didn't it get, like, 7 nominations?
No, it got more.
Yeah, like.
It got way more than that. Yeah,
see, like, that, like, I don't care that it's in best game. Like, that seems fairly normal to me. It might be some people's contender for best game, but, like, man, it seems like it's nominated for, like, 2 out of every 3 categories. And that's where I'm like, that feels a little suspicious for a game that people aren't talking about that much. Because it feels like if the game were that good across all spectrums, it gets people talking. And that mimetic nature tends to sell games on a slower burn, but people definitely know and talk about it. I mean, Elden Ring was kind of like that. Like, it was already prone and set to be big, but then immediately everybody being like, this game has the best, like, I don't know, everything I've ever had in my life. It leads me as a person. I can now die happily. Like, that made other people play
it. By the way, real quick, because why not talk about it? Darth Gibby says, I was shocked Starfield didn't get nominated.
Yeah.
Public consensus is the game's missing a little bit of magic, yeah, which I'm kind of torn about. Like, I don't know how to, like, if I compare this to, say, like, either of the Star Wars games, like, oh, Starfield beats the pants off of them both, like, trounces both hands down, in my opinion. Easy, easy, easy win. But, like, it's, maybe we set it up to fail by expecting it to be Skyrim in space. I mean, like, I was expecting to be Skyrim in space, and that was a more conservative estimate of what this game would be. Everybody else thought it would be like literally everything under the moon and then some. So, like, I kind of feel like maybe we set ourselves up to let ourselves down, but also at the same time, like, probably the weakest mainline Bethesda franchise, even aside from expectations. So, I don't know.
And then on top of that, the game was the thing that sold the Xbox Series X, you know? So they had that expectation on top of it as well, you know?
Yeah, well, if it were good, it was bad.
Yeah.
We knew it wasn't going to happen. I've said it.
Go ahead, Adam.
Remember, I had talked about it before. I was like, this is not a system seller, this game. It's going to be a niche thing. I never saw this as that go-to for everyone. It's not like a Spider-Man type of deal.
But it's interesting because Skyrim and fucking Fallout are, for, you know, I'm going to just say they're normie games. They're the games that you get your girlfriend to play to get
into. I don't know those people. Those are different girls than I don't know about those.
Get in here, bro.
That I don't know. I would not call that a normie game.
Yeah, Skyrim for sure. Skyrim for sure. Like, how many fucking girls still stream that fuck? You know,
Skyrim is definitely a girlfriend friendly game. Fallout is a little less so, but the VAT system helps. Because the second you'd be like, oh, it's a shooter, a lot of girls, not saying anything, but a lot of girls are like, not my jam. And so I feel like taking out the VAT system and being like, you know what girls love? NASA is not really a thing that a lot of people say. So like, plus the whole, there is no VAT system. You're kind of cutting down on your audience every step that you get away from Elder Scrolls. But also, like I said before, like, I think it's the disjointed nature. Like, after playing it for a while, I have found a way to make it smoother, where you basically just pop open the menu and press X, and you just jump to the next thing that you're supposed to do. But even then, that feels like a lot of jumping. And even, you know, in Fallout, like, just pulling out your Pip-Boy feels so much less intrusive than pausing the Starfield menu. So it's, they made it too big and too separate, and in doing so, they broke it apart, and you lose that wondering experience. I don't know if that you might be able to fix that with some patches. I don't know if you can, though. Like, Starfield may just be kind of niche. I also think, like, it is definitely the weakest of the three settings. Like, you have one setting, like, Skyrim is a LOTOR-esque fantasy world that subverts itself, right? Like, you like the Dark Elves and the history of the Dark Elves and the Norse and the Orcs. I'm not gonna Elder Scrolls geek out on you guys, but like, a lot of the backstories of the races and whatnot, they're really pretty interesting and kind of countercurrent to what you would expect in a classic LOTOR setting. Fallout is a super unique setting. You're not gonna get anything like it. You know, it's future tech meets Mad Max. Fuck yeah, man. Like, that is fucking charming. No other way to put it, it's fucking charming. And then you get this and you're like, hey, do you want a low sci-fi future alien free space adventure? To which a lot of people are like, no. I mean, it's the reason you get more Star Wars than you do the Expanse. And while you'll every once in a while run across people like Tony who love the Expanse for its nuts and bolts approach, most of the time you're going to get other people who will be like, yeah, why is my spaceship just all crazy cool holograms and sleep pods instead of, you know,
well, the Expanse, you didn't watch the shows. Did you watch the shows, Tony? Or it's just the books? You read the books.
I just read the books. But
you say you read the book. But no, the shows were on Sci-Fi Channel, and people blew off Sci-Fi shows a long time ago because they were like, oh, it's all low budget, which isn't the true. There was a lot of that bullshit, but they actually started putting, there was a lot of high production values in
Expanse. No, but Brett's point is, those like The Expanse are really like grounded and shit. They're, you know, it's hard sci-fi, right? Whereas Star Wars is basically just fantasy in space. That's more appealing to, that's
Avengers in space.
You know? It is. It's not sci-fi at all. It's fantasy with a science fit dressing, you know?
It's space wizards.
Yeah, it's that shit is fun, you know? Like, I've always said, one thing I like about Star, even though I'm a Star Trek guy, one thing I like about they have over Star Trek is they have fucking monsters everywhere. I love that shit, you know?
Sometimes
they'll get a monster in Star Trek, but Star Wars, the second season of Mandalorian literally had a monster in every episode, and it was
Yeah, but Star Trek, even more grounded episode. I'm not talking about the William Shatner fucking green alien girls, but like even the more grounded ones had whole different civilizations and alien races and like time travel and all kinds of weird, crazy shit. Yeah. You're like, this is kind of like if somebody were like, hey, you know how like Star Trek is a step down in Star Wars in terms of fun? Well, what if we took Star Trek and stepped it down a level of fun? Where would we be at then? We'd be at Starfield. We'd be at that real super grounded, there is no magic in the universe. I'm like,
yeah, Expanse.
Real Starfield, but like,
actually, the Expanse is even lower than Starfield because Expanse is just on, in, you know, at least what I've read, it's only on one solar, you know? But no.
Yeah, but it's also got the proto.
Yeah, yeah. They got aliens. You know, they got aliens. You know, they exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that, but I agree with everything you said. It's like people like fun fantasy shit, and that's cool, you know? They don't want the more grounded sci-fi stuff. Me, I probably like Starfield a lot, you know, because I like that shit, but I know I'm in the minority when it comes to that. You know?
I mean, here's the thing. I like retrofuturism. I like alien-type tech, right? But the NASA punk really doesn't look like that. Like, in my opinion, like, as an artist, man, like, I kind of fucking hate some of the NASA punk aesthetics because they're ugly. And I get that they're supposed to be ugly. I get that it's supposed to be like stuff that NASA actually uses. But here's the thing. NASA, I don't know if you know this, doesn't give a fuck how things look. And most of the time, it just looks like space trash.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's yeah, cool. You have a room here that has cargo netting covering like a bunch of boxes and tinfoil strapped to the wall. It's not a cool look. It's not a cool look. I'd rather almost the brutalist based architecture of minimalist future tech than this. I'd rather like an angular gray console covered with press buttons as opposed to this like space conserving NASA vibe. Like it's not a fun vibe as it, and it's fine. Like there's part of it that I like. It's not as fun as like 80% of the other shit that you could do with sci-fi. So it just has all of these things working against it, man.
By the way, Brett, Darth Gibbia says that you should make a video.
Bro, I would totally love, like, somebody hire me as a creative director of a video game. I will come to work every day with fucking bells on, figuratively and literally. I don't give a shit.
You know, man. Good. By the way, the other thing I wanted to mention to Alan, that despite, you know, that, you know, whole thing of apparently the game not doing well, at least, you know, when it comes to like, you know, engagement, the studio itself says that the game was a success. So
it's probably doing exactly what they expected.
Yeah.
Like I don't think Remedy at any, they know good and damn well that Alan's definitely title. And I think what they did is they probably knew, knowing this, leveraging the sequel, they probably said, all right, yeah, we know we're going to take a hit on Wake. We're just probably not as a Quantum Break, but I'm guessing that's part of the deal of Max Payne. They knew that they knew exactly what, like, all right, we already.
I still got to play these games. I want to play Alan Wake.
Yeah, Alan Wake is. Alan Wake Remedy.
I like Remedy shit, man. I like every game I play for Remedy. I like Quantum Break. I like.
They make solid games.
Yeah. I like them. They're good. They're good.
Plus,
stuff.
Plus they got the metal in them. Every single, there's really a metal opera one point in.
See, I see their games kind of like HBO movies, right? Like we're not talking Netflix movies here, right? Not necessarily talking big release. Pretty good. Solid B+. Across the board.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I guess a lot of people saying the game should be nominated for Game of the Year probably aren't going to like that. But like,
I wouldn't.
I'm not surprised.
As intrigued as I am. Yeah, I didn't. Maybe art direction, music, you know, direction award.
I'm only surprised that it's nominated for everything.
Yeah. Everything.
It is the greatest, you know, game. Apparently, according to them, it's the greatest game to Jeff Keighley.
Dude, when that list dropped, I texted Tony. I was like, am I missing something about this game? Or is it just the best game ever made?
I didn't have an answer. And I still don't. I have my theories, but I'm not going to. All right, man. All right, Adam, we got to get. So apparently, the next Call of Duty is going to be Black Ops. And it's going to be set during for the 2004 goal, not the Aurora.
So
what do you think about
the,
that?
The Bin Laden.
The.
War on Terror.
No, before that, the one that our uncle was in.
Okay.
That one.
No. This is when we went to go take out Saddam Hussein directly.
This is after 9/11.
This is after 9/11. This is
the I thought it was before that. The early
this
one.
This is not the early one. No.
Okay. So a lot. Let me make sure I'm understanding this right. A lot of players playing the game will be playing a war that they decided to not actually go to in real life because they were old enough.
Yes.
The only thing I hope for is the same issues that I'm having with Modern Warfare, and it's that they're focusing so much on trying to get people to play together, right? Play together, multiplayer, Warzone, and all of the other features that they keep adding with zombies. It's play with your friends, get together. Then why did you not add that in a campaign, but you created this open world location for it? It makes no sense. They throw you in there and you're putting on armor and stuff just like you're doing one of those one of the online matches, but yet you're playing by yourself and it's a huge open world. And majority of the missions, you are by yourself. It's no longer feels like a Call of Duty where you're in war, you're in battle, you know, everyone's storming the beach, that type of situation. And so if they're going to go down the road, because originally Black Ops, that was its thing, that it was the Call of Duty that let you play with your friends for the campaign. You have 4-player co-op for the campaign and run around, and it was great. But we didn't get that in 4. We got that in 3. That was like the last one that we got it in. So if they're going to go there, I don't care what war they throw us in, just have us jump with our buddies and let us have that experience together, because that's what that series was all about.
All right, peace out, Darth Gibbous. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Eat well.
Yeah, gobble, gobble. And the last thing I want to talk about, Adam, more personal, man. What's going on with that Steam Deck, bruh?
Oh, it's personal.
It's personal. This is personal. So, you know, the guys know I got the OLED limited edition. Waited for that one. I was hyped. I got it. Finally arrived today. And problems. And I thought it was just me. I was like, oh, I got a dud system that the Wi-Fi was not connected. So it would see the Wi-Fi network, see them all, but when I put in my password, nothing would happen. It would say, oh, network failure, you know, try your password again. I know it's my password. I know my password. I reboot my router, reboot my modem, did everything, checked all the devices, everything is fine. What is going on? So then I go online and I take a look in their support page, and this is a known issue. So apparently something is wrong with the new adapter, Wi-Fi adapter that they added in this. Now, it seems like it's pointed more towards people that have newer routers. So I have a newer router. It's an Asus gaming router that supports 6, you know, Internet 6, so Ethernet 6. So it works. It's supposed to work and support it. Well, that's the issue. Somewhere along the lines, it's having issue with the mesh, because a lot of those newer ones will mesh your 2.5 and your 5 gigahertz together. Yeah. To build a strong signal, and it's having issues seeing that. It's somewhere along the lines. So what people have been doing is going into router settings and splitting the two again. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Other people found other ways of working around, like I have, where I used my official dock. I plugged in the dock, and it saw the wired connection, and it let me do the install and setup, because right off the bat, you can't do anything. Once you turn it on, it's like, oh, pick your time, your location, and now your Wi-Fi connect. I was like, shoot, if I can't connect to Wi-Fi, then what? So I feel sorry for people that don't have access to their router. Maybe they're in a college or some location where they just connect to the general Wi-Fi. And if they are updating their systems, then it's not going to work. They got to hope that it's actually an older system, and then it seems that it'll connect. But it's a pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass. Thankfully, I mean, this device, it doesn't require a constant online connection. So once you load it up, yeah, you can go and play whatever. And next time it pings, I think it's like 2 weeks or something like that, it has to connect to Valve or whatever to just verify everything is kosher. But still, that sucks, man. I spent hours trying to figure this out and just going through all these forums, and people are like, oh, you got to disable this on your router. You got a factory reset. No, your system's bricked. It doesn't work. And people are like, that's not the case, because if that was it wouldn't see it. It would give an error like there are no drivers. So it's clearly some kind of driver issue that I hope they fix. But it's a shame, because as you know, and Tony's one of them, a lot of guys that were reviewing got an early unit. But it looks like a combination of things. One, they didn't get the limited edition one. And it seems like predominantly a lot of people are having issues with that model. And then two, a lot of reviewers don't have 6. their router. They're not using a router that's fully compatible with the device. So they're using an older one, which is fine, because then it doesn't have the issues that's causing this. So it's somewhere along the lines of this device talking to newer routers, and it's not working, like I mentioned, the mesh. So should everybody have to go and start messing with their network settings and making all these adjustments just for this one device? No, we shouldn't. But then again, it's only been out 2 days for this one.
Do you think that?
Yeah. And that was the first thing that I know when I first finally everything went through. Because that's the other thing. Some people were like, oh, set up a hotspot on your phone. And that's how they did it. That was the workaround. They didn't have the dock, but they did the Wi-Fi. And I tried that, and it crashed on me 2 times. Like, just hung there. It went through, because, which I don't remember on my Steam Deck ever before, but once you do get to connect to a Wi-Fi, it says installing. It doesn't say what it's installing. It just says installing, and it gives a timer at the bottom. And I assume that was, like, updates, whatever. But once you finally do get in, and then you sign in to your account, then it said, oh, it told me that there was a firmware update because this is an early unit that I have. A lot of changes have been made, blah, 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 blah. Click install update. I'm like, okay, that's great. But then what the hell was I just waiting for 15 minutes before this? What was that? So I don't know, because it doesn't tell you that it's a firmware update. It doesn't say anything. It just says installing. But it kept crashing when I did that through my hotspot, which is why I was like, you know what, let me try the dock. And the reason why I think that this can definitely be fixed through software, if it was a hardware issue, let's say if the adapter is just faulty, it's bad, it would fail instantly. It wouldn't even connect. It would say, hey, there's no Wi-Fi. There's nothing here. You know. And the first Steam Deck did have some that failed. And I saw those videos of people showing screenshots and stuff of what it was. And it was like, it just, there was no Wi-Fi. You clicked on Wi-Fi. I was like, no network's found. Well, that's not the case here. It's seeing the network, and it's letting you connect to the, trying to connect to the network, and it's trying to verify, but then it's failing. So, and the fact that people have figured out the workarounds, that also tells me that it is a driver and software issue and a compatibility. They have to make some adjustments. It doesn't seem to matter what brand router you have. I have an Asus. Other people were talking about they have Netgear and Linksys and stuff. And it's like, all right, well, that's not it. And all right, so what's the common denominator here? And it's like, well, we're all using a 6. We're all using a modern router that does a mesh. And it doesn't seem to play well with that. So, hey, like I mentioned, it's 2 days. It sucks because you want something out the box to work out the box. I was looking forward to, even now, I was going to go on camera. I was going to show it off because it is beautiful. But I can't be happy about it because of this. You know, right now, I have it plugged into the dock, just installing stuff on it. And if once I unplug it, it's upsetting to know it's just going to disconnect and you know, go offline. Even that's the other thing. Even after I did that update and I was like, oh, maybe this will fix it. I went to the network settings, and it does show my network, and it shows all the other networks, but again, still can't connect to them. It still fails. And so I'll give it some time, give it a few days. Hopefully next week it'll be official full release. This is making the rounds on the official support page. More and more people are getting theirs. Others are saying, hey, mine's just coming, you know, on Friday due to the holiday and stuff. So it's still sprinkling out there, but like right now I just refreshed and somebody has the 512 that came today, and theirs is the standard version, and they're having this issue, the OLED. So,
and it's all with the special edition, right?
That's what I thought, but right now it looks like the 512 is the OLED. It looks like it's all the OLED.
Interesting.
At least that's coming with this one. And again, that's what people are asking this guy now. I'll send you the thread, and the answer was like, hey,
I want to check that out.
Like, what
because again, I've been doing it, and so have some of the other people in the office, and none of us have had any issues.
So it's upsetting. I was looking
especially
forward
since
to
the system's fucking dope. I mean, feel it now. Shit is lighter. You know,
it is. It's scary light. But then you brought up that whole thing that they said it's the screen that was the screen was batting on me, because I mean it feels so light. It's like, shit, what did you take out? Because it's too light. It's too light. It don't throws me off. But the screen is bright. I don't remember the other one automatically enabling that. What is it? That light tint. You know that feature that it has underneath. I disable it on my phones and every other device. I hate that. That auto detect.
Oh yeah.
I hate it. But this had it on default. So once I turned it on, it was already dim. I'm like, what the hell? And I went to settings. Sure enough, that shit was on. I turned it off, and I was like, shit. I need my sunglasses. This shit was bright. You know, beautiful screen, very vibrant.
Yeah, no, VCR's fuck. Adam, here's a question. Does this mean you're not going to name deck?
Right now, I don't even want to look at it. Damn. That's how I'm upset I am. This is it, like this thing. Yeah, I'm loading it up and stuff, but most likely he's going to go in a draw. And I'm already subscribed to all these threads where apparently Valve is aware they're looking into it. Once there's a fix, then, because it's going to upset me. Every time I use it, it's going to upset me. I'm used to just playing it, seeing friends pop up, talking, doing that whole thing, just playing, getting updates. That disconnect. You know, when I take screenshots, when I'm doing reviews, I'll take a screenshot and it's great because then I just go on my desktop and then it's just there. I just download it and there you go. My little video clips. I can't do any of that. It limits a lot of the functionality of what I use it for. And it's a damn shame. It's a damn shame. It shouldn't be this way. I'm just shocked. That's pretty much a shock. I just didn't see this coming. And I thought that they had everything down packed. That's why they sent out those reviews a week early, those units. They had everything squared away. This is going to be a solid device. I had no issues with this one. But hey, I'm not giving them a pass on this. This is their second model.
Yeah, they fucked up.
This should have been tested. If that's an, especially if you're hyping it up, that it's all super fast speeds and the whole thing with six. And the whole point of the super fast with the six is the mesh. The fact that it combines the two, it makes a stronger signal. So if that doesn't work, and people are like, oh, we'll just split it and then go to the 2.4 gigahertz. I was like, yeah, and that's slower, and that doesn't help. It's going to take forever to start installing games. So for that, then, if you have any kind of device, a dongle device, anything that, if you were using it before that has, for docking, then do that. Just plug it in, do that. That works. You can set it up. You can download. You can do all that stuff. But until they fix this. But yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Beautiful screen. It's super light. I like that I could see inside the case, front and back. Just disappointed.
Gotta fix that shit.
Yeah, I sent it to you guys in the chat. That's the thread, official thread there.
I'll check it out. That's crazy. All right, I think that's going to do it for us, unless you guys want to bring up any random gaming.
There was something.
Again, not a lot happened because we didn't have a lot of, and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's well, it was the Call of Duty thing. It's like they had like the largest multiplayer consecutive group play. This is what Activision was touting for Modern Warfare 3 compared to Modern Warfare 2. And that everyone's jumping on there and everyone's playing. And I find that interesting because it's like that Call of Duty, the Infinite War type of situation where it sucks. But everybody bought it, ran out and bought it and played and did all that. And here's the same thing. Everyone's griping and bitching about this one. And myself included. But yet people are playing it. At least according to Activision. I need to, who knows, they're publishers, they're going to say all kinds of shit, but if that's true, that means a lot of people bought it. And so I'm curious to see when those numbers come in for next month to see how many people actually, because it's not on Game Pass, that's not there, so people still bought it. And I think, I haven't seen any commercials for it, but don't these commercials still say PlayStation?
Yeah, it's because they
right still for this the, one, because
yeah, they still have
this the is the last now. One. Yeah, yeah, this is a, and that's the whole reason why they pushed it out the way they just to get rid of that, to give it that official release feel, but it's not. But we'll see.
I could see why Sony wanted to stop that. They really had their slim sold the package called it.
Yeah, Jay Shepard was Embracer. They laid off 900.
Yep. Well, Embracer's going.
We hear these fucking stories every week now.
Embracer.
That was another group, right?
Yeah. That's the former THQ.
The second batch. No. But they did a big layoff not too long ago, and this is like their second batch of layoffs.
I mean, they're going. They grew. They're literally having what we call the curse happening. They're literally tightening the belt because they can't get any. They tried to grow so fast.
I mean, that's a problem that happened with the industry in general. They thought the party was going to keep going.
They all do it. Telltales, remember Telltales? Yeah. Started pushing all those games out. And then.
All these companies just thought to grow and all the profits went better after. No, that's not at all because people aren't captive in their home. So you have to literally your projection. Obviously, the investors don't want to hear that. They're all like, oh, whoa, we're going to do better this year.
Like, oh, we made this much money last year. We got to make more next year.
Well, that's what's going on with all these streaming services. Same thing. It's like, oh, no one's watching all this stuff. We're producing all this. Yeah, because not everybody's stuck at home. Now they can go out and do shit.
Yeah.
Before, everybody was stuck and gobbling all that content because they couldn't do anything.
Now we'll have the choice. They're putting in trash.
Oh, yeah. It's failing. It's crazy. We're not going to. This is not the popcorn.
Yeah, Barbie did well. Oppenheimer did well.
Yeah, Oppenheimer did well, yeah. Isn't there another Marvel's then, and it looks like Napoleon.
That's a period piece. Usually period pieces do well.
Yeah, well, it depends. You know,
Gladiator, Master Commander.
I was interested, but then I saw the trailer and they bombed the pyramids. I'm like, okay, what the fuck are we doing? That didn't happen. So I'm like, if you don't care to be historically accurate, I don't care to watch your. How about that?
I thought that was their whole point.
Pyramids, man.
Yeah, I didn't see the trailer.
Hey, wait, where didn't they? Didn't they shoot cannon? Isn't that why the Sphinx doesn't have a nose?
No, that's
so maybe is that what they're going based off of in this?
No, Ridley Scott literally said, I added, like, no, that didn't happen, but I wanted to a shorthand to say that.
Why would you?
Historians came after him. He's like, no, it's like the fucking movie. What do you guys talk? Who cares?
Right? It's okay, not a documentary. I could do what I want.
Historical fiction. It's like a Netflix Cleopatra shit.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Zendaya is not going to be Cleopatra. Oh, yeah. There you go. I'm not going to get into that bull. Let's start wrapping up, man. What are we plugging? Invincible. I don't know when we're going to record, because holidays and everything. I think we're recording it on Monday. Brett, was that? Is that where? I don't remember.
Did you guys record episode thing? Or?
What's up, Brett?
I was relying on you to tell me. So.
Let's say Monday. Fuck it, we're doing it Monday. And yeah, Adam, we did the three episodes. We did that. So yeah, we're gonna do Monday. We're gonna come back with Invincible because the mid-season finale is crazy. It's only fucking four episodes, but it is what it is, you know. So yeah, we'll be back. Adam, what's going on? I am Negan. Yeah,
we're still behind because of the same thing with, you know, to mute and everyone's doing other things, and then holidays. We still haven't recorded for the last two episodes. So. They did the finale was two episodes back to back. That's how they ended, so they can get this week out because of the holiday stuff. So they did everything last week, but we just been busy and we're trying to get time together because we usually watch them together and then do our thoughts and review afterwards. So you're looking at 3-4 hours total to get that. So to find that block of time, it's hard. So hopefully tomorrow before we start our gobble gobbles. We can get together because we're going to do that today, but people are busy doing other stuff. So we'll see hopefully tomorrow. But yeah, just to get that out the way. And then that's it. We're on a break until the Rick and Michonne, that other one comes out. Hopefully that's good.
All right, man. It obviously, just like I'm Negan, old podcast is still on coalitionwithak.com. So check that stuff out, man. Geeking out. You motherfuckers always saying, Tony, you're so negative. You want to hear a happy, positive. Go check out that podcast. I love it. Great, you know? All right, let's get out of here, man. So follow, throw it on Twitch, subscribe. Join our Discord where conversations, rumors are all popping. You can find us on any podcast app by Throwdown Show. That's Throwdown Show, throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell notified. When our premieres go live, man. Links to everything down below. Your host, Tonko. And tonight I was joined by Elio Lopez.
See you next time. Also, have a happy day if you are still.
Yes. Chris Steely.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Adam Vail.
Have a good holiday.
And Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
All right, people, you already know, man. Eat, drink, and be merry on Thanksgiving for celebrate. And to everybody else, have fun tomorrow. And make fun of Americans and do that. anyway, we shall return on Sunday later.
Later.
Peace.